Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good morning. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on a Thursday to check in on the numbers from Chicago at the CME Group, where futures are lower in the corn pit, down 12 and 3/4 of a cent at this hour at 495 and a half. December futures at 476 are 4 1/4 lower, and the March contract at 488 and a quarter, down 4.5 cents. May corn, $4.96, down 4 3/4. July of next year, 4.5 lower. It's at 502 and a half. The soft red winter wheat at 648 and a half, down 4 3/4 in the SEP. December futures at 658 and 3/4, down 5 1/4. August soybean futures, 1358 and a half, or 34 cents lower. September, 1268 and a half, down 33 and a half. And November beans at 1222, down 34. January futures, 1226 and a quarter, 34 3/4 lower. And the March contract at 1228 and a half, down 31 1/4. And the bean meal trading at 447.80, 20 cents lower. Bean oil at 43.79, that's down 45. Live cattle futures are 552 and a half cents lower at 121 and a nickel. August feeders at 152.12 and a half are down 90 cents. And lean hogs for the day are 30 cents lower at $98.62.5. On the phone line now to take up these agricultural markets with us from New Orleans, actually Mandeville, at CGB Enterprises Incorporated, is Dan Zwicker. Good morning to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
Doing fine.
Okay, so what happened in the charts this week? It's been really ugly and kind of a really big outside down week at this time for soybeans.
Yeah, there's really nothing for the bull to hang his hat on. There's all kinds of stuff for the bear to probably point at for the market to kind of move to lower levels. You know, we've been basically making new contract lows in the corn market. The bean market has given back a lot of its advance it's had over the past several weeks. And, you know, I think primarily, you know, weather was a key. We did have some hot and dry weather last week, and then all of a sudden she switched to the cooler, very much cooler type temperatures. There's a lot of places that still need rain, but the cooler temperatures definitely took the pressure off of crop prospects. And then the past couple weeks or so, the grain trade's been steadily buying cash corn and cash soybeans from farmers. I think farmers all had a little bit of cash corn and cash soybeans around just for speculative type purposes, I think, and they started peeling that out over the past couple of weeks, and that kind of has filled up the pipeline to the point that many in the trade feels went a long ways in maybe resolving the issue of the transition between tight old crop supplies and the prospect of having some delayed new crop inventories. Southern corn crop's going to start coming off here real soon, and that's most of that's probably going to head north on barges and then put on rails and then moved into processing plants. So everybody feels, at least at the moment anyway, fairly comfortable with crop prospects. But we got a long ways to go yet. This is kind of a end of the July washout. When you look at the market on a seasonal perspective, this is not uncommon to have kind of a late July washout in the market as everybody kind of finishes up the month of July, then kind of gets in position to see what USDA issues on the August crop report.
Yeah, there has been a sense over the past, I don't know, maybe decade, maybe longer than that, that the market, as you said, will move sharply lower at the end of the July, first part of August, and then it starts to trend higher. I'm wondering, in the face of a 14 or 14 and a half billion bushel corn crop, whether that will actually happen.
Well, I think that's the big argument, whether it's 14 or 14 and a half or maybe underneath 14. And that's where we're at. I mean, it's been a couple years since we've kind of had a crop. We've got a crop now. Mm-hmm. The big argument is, is the yield 160 or is it 147? And I've seen crop scouts come out with all kinds of different numbers, and whether or not USDA will alter their changes on the August report. We do know that we're ready for some acreage changes. Whether or not the crop is far enough along for them to do any major changes in yield, I don't know. But there's some real good crop out there. The Eastern Corn Belt definitely has the best crop, but then when you get into Illinois, it can kind of get mixed up a lot. And then when you go on west, it deteriorates a little further as you continue to go west. So I'm not too sure anybody really knows where this corn crop is at, but and that's what the market is trying to sort out. And USDA will at least be the we'll put down the first marker anyway. And then we'll kind of go from there. But as late as the crop is, you know, this August crop report is going to be more of an exercise. Probably a better reading on crop will probably be the September report. But what's really killed the corn market is the trade kind of convinced itself that that the demand balance, the demand figures that USDA has been using is way over optimistic, and it needed to take a corn yield down underneath 150 bushels per acre to really tighten up the situation to the point that corn could kind of rally in that environment. And that's what's really been killing the new crop corn month.
Okay, so can we talk just a bit long-term and thinking about the new price era from the previous price era, where the midpoint might be and where we set at this time? I think most would think that 450 is probably too low for the midpoint, but 470, 480 might be the middle of the range over the long term. And so the question then is, if you're facing a 14 or 14.5 billion bushel crop, is 480 still too high for December corn?
Yeah, if you want to keep the crop that big, then you're probably going to be talking a lot below $5 cash corn. I think, if you got the crop at 14 billion and above, December corn futures is probably going to try to trade down toward 4.25 for a harvest low, and then maybe it would recover 50 cents or so and go back into the 4.75 area. But it doesn't, that type of crop would not probably warrant anything above $5.
If you're at a 13.8 or 7 or some, I don't know where you might think this crop might be at this point, but what's the upside then?
Well, you might want to use a broad brush, depending on how demand pencils out. But I suppose at this stage of the game, I would not rule out something between 450 and 550.
All right.
I think we have to see increased demand. We've got to have a little tighter balance sheet. We got to get into some weather problems probably in South America as we go down the road. Then we could maybe talk about, six something. But I think probably what we know about demand right now, unless USDA comes in with some pretty low numbers, probably 550 is the top end, and the market will probably find a lot of good support at 450. But when I say that, then it wouldn't surprise me to go to 4.25 or 575.
Gotta go, Dan. Thanks so much, Dan Zwicker with CGB Enterprises. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9. HD Urbana.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.